are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray before we read the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word. We love it and we love you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Word and ultimately your Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. We ask now that as your Word is read and proclaimed, you would send your Holy Spirit to help us to hear and understand that we might believe and obey. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, hear the word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, we're in a series of messages entitled Joy in the Storm. Today's message is entitled The Secret of Joy. One evening last week, I was driving home from an event here at the church, and somewhere along the way on my 30-minute commute home, I had an astonishing revelation. For years and years, in my attempt to encourage people to enter into spiritual disciplines, in my sincere desire to see believers grow in the Lord, I have said things like, prayer is easy. All you got to do is talk to God. Perhaps you've heard me say that, or other people say that, or perhaps you've said it yourself. Prayer is easy. All you got to do is talk to God. I've said things like, reading the Bible is easy. For example, the New International Version, from which we just read, is translated on an eighth grade level. Prayer and reading the Bible is easy. And with that, I've been trying to communicate, you can do this. You can do this. In a moment of revelation, as I drove my car, the Lord showed me that this Christian life, that the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, that following Jesus is simple, but not easy. It's simple to understand, but it's not easy to live out. So in my car, as I was driving home, I had this vision. I saw myself at Panthers football stadium. I was dressed in workout, exercise clothes. And I was told to run up the stairs from the bottom of the stadium to the top of the stadium. It's simple to understand. It's simple. Run up the stairs. Put one foot in front of the other. It's simple to understand. But it's not easy to live out. Why? Because as you're running up the stairs, there's this force called gravity pulling you down. Making something that is simple to understand hard to live out. In a similar way, prayer is simple to understand, but it's hard to do because there are forces, not just a force, but there are forces pulling against you to keep you from a life of prayer. There's the work of the enemy. There's your own flesh, that is your sinful nature, pulling you down away from prayer. Reading the Bible is simple to understand, but hard to do because there are forces pulling against you. Therefore, the Christian life, friends, requires that you have a kind of fight. The Christian life requires that you have a fight on the inside of you, that you have a determination on the inside of you. The Apostle Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith. So this morning, we come back to the subject of joy. Joy is easy to understand. I mean, even little children can sing about the truth of joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But it's hard to live out because there are forces pulling against you. Therefore, you have to fight for joy. You got to fight for joy. Too many believers are passively sitting back, waiting for spiritual growth to just hit them. Too many believers are sitting back, waiting for this thing called joy to just hit them. You've got to fight for joy. And you've got to fight for joy, especially when the storms of life hit. Especially when hardship and trial and suffering come into your life. You've got to fight for your joy. And that brings us back to our text from 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing to believers who were facing severe persecution by forces that sought to stop the Christian movement and to wipe the church off the face of the earth. Our text gives us six secrets of joy, six ways to fight for joy in the midst of hardship and trial. We looked at the first two last week. Let's review them. Number one, if you're going to fight for joy, you've got to be intentional about giving praise to God. Look at the beginning of verse 3. The beginning of verse 3 says, praise. Peter, writing to these persecuted Christians, begins with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are going through hardship in prayer and in song, you need to lift up praise to God and fight for your joy. Because praise invites God into your situation. Praise enables you to see your trouble through the lens of God's goodness and God's greatness. Give praise to the Lord because it will stir up within you the joy of the Lord. Two, if you're going to fight for joy, celebrate your salvation. Celebrate your salvation. Look again at the second half of verse 3. Peter writes, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Celebrate your salvation. Preach the gospel to yourself. That is, remind your soul that God has given you great mercy and new birth in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that no matter what happens in your life, you are God's child. 3, if you're going to fight for joy in the midst of the storms of life, Peter says, remember your changeless inheritance. Remember your changeless inheritance. Look again at verse 4. The apostle writes, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. By God's mercy, you are not only given new birth, but you're also given a changeless inheritance. No matter what you're going through, in Jesus, you have an inheritance. Something is coming to you that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I'm still astonished that you can buy a car and as soon as you drive it off the lot, its value depreciates. You can paint your house and the color will fade. You can buy a loaf of bread and soon it will start to mold, but your inheritance in Christ will never perish, spoil, or fade. I mean, do you realize this morning that there is not a man or woman on the earth, there is not a circumstance in life, there is not a devil in hell that can stop the glorious plan of God in Jesus Christ for your eternity? When you get a hold of that, or better, it gets a hold of you, what else is there but joy? That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Friends, fight for an eternal perspective on your suffering. Remember your changeless inheritance. And what is that inheritance? Well, in and through Jesus, you will receive a new, glorious, resurrected body that is remade by the Holy Spirit. It will be a body that is not subject to disease or sin or death. The Bible says that he will wipe away every tear from your eyes and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The Bible says that Jesus is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. You will not be some bodiless soul just floating around in heaven. You will inhabit a new earth, one that Jesus restores to paradise, one in which the nations will not war. The lion will lay down with the lamb. There will be no more racism or sexism. There will be no more cancer or heart disease. There will be the river of life and the tree of life, and we will bask. We will bask in and reflect the glorious light, life, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your changeless inheritance. 4, if you're going to fight for joy in the midst of life's storms, the Apostle Peter says that you and I need to trust God's faithfulness to keep us. Trust God's faithfulness to keep you. Look again at verse 5. Who through faith, speaking of believers, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God not only keeps your inheritance secure, he keeps you secure. There's an old hymn that celebrates God's power to keep you that says, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And the refrain of that hymn says, leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Trust God's faithfulness to keep you. Peter says here that through faith, you are shielded by God's power. That is, as you put your faith in him, as you trust him in the storms of life, his power will shield you. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you won't go through anything. It means that as you go through the storm, trusting him, his power will keep you. His power will hold you and deliver you to that great day he has for you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. What he started in you by saving you, he's gonna complete that work. He's faithful to keep you. Just like he kept Daniel in the lion's den, just like he kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, he is faithful to keep you. Psalm 121 says that he who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. Isaiah 41 says, God speaking here, God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus himself said of us, referring to us as his sheep, Jesus said, no one, I love this verse, Jesus said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then he said in the next verse, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. When you are going through trial and trouble, trust God's faithfulness to keep you. 5. If you're going to celebrate, if you're going to fight for joy, celebrate what God is doing in your trials. Celebrate what God is doing. Look at verse 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7, the apostle writes, in all this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen, friends, I don't know why you're going through the hard trial you're going through, but I do know that your suffering is not wasted. I know that you are not forsaken or forgotten by God. I don't know why you're going through a storm, but I do know that God is so good that he can take the worst that people or the devil bring into your life and use it for your good. In the furnace of suffering, God refines your faith. When gold is melted, the impurities rise to the top and then can be taken off. They can be skimmed off, thus purifying the gold. And the truth about you this morning is that even though you believe in Jesus, you believe in Jesus, even though you believe in Jesus, you've got some impurities mixed into your heart. Maybe you have some impatience, some selfishness, some self-centeredness, or greed, or lust, or anger, or fear. Well, in suffering, even if the devil brings it, God is so good. God takes that suffering and refines your faith. God uses that time of suffering to purify you, to work on those impurities in your heart. I mean, just think about the person who is writing this letter. His birth name wasn't Peter. It was Simon. Jesus gave him the name Peter. And when Jesus gave him that name, Peter, and Peter means rock, you know that. And when Jesus gave him that name, Peter was anything but a rock. I don't know him. Jesus denied, or Peter denied Jesus three times. He's anything but a rock. But by what he suffered, those impurities were worked out of Peter's heart until the day he was willing to not only live for Jesus, but die for Jesus as a martyr. In suffering, your faith is refined. God purifies you. God makes you better. Not only that, but the Bible says here in the text that your faith is proven genuine through suffering. And here's what Peter means by that. That it's easy for us, it's easy for you, it's easy for me to trust Jesus, to say that we trust Jesus when life is going well. When my money is right and my relationships are right and my health is right and everything's going right. It's easy to talk about my love and trust and faith in Jesus. But when suffering hits, I mean real suffering enters into your life. Well, at that point of suffering, some people continue to hang on to their faith in Jesus, and others will walk away from Jesus. And what Peter is saying here is that when you come out on the other side of suffering, still trusting Jesus, Peter says that that proves that your faith in him is genuine. When the suffering came, you didn't walk away. When the suffering came, you didn't lose your faith in Jesus. When the suffering came, you held on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, that proves that you really believe in him, that you really trust him. And then Peter says that it's that kind of faith, that kind of faith will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus comes again. Sixth and finally, if you're going to fight for joy in the midst of suffering, Peter says, focus on your relationship with Jesus. Don't focus on the thing you're going through. It's easy to do. Don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus. Look at verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When you go through something hard, when you go through something difficult with another person, it can bring a greater closeness and intimacy into the relationship. Ask soldiers who have been in combat together. Ask athletes who have played in games together. Ask married people who have gone through the ups and downs of life together. When you go through hardship and trial and stress and struggle with another person, it can bring a greater closeness and intimacy into the relationship. And you need to know this morning what Peter is telling us is that in your time of trial, in your time of suffering, in your going through the storm, Jesus is with you. So keep on praying, keep on reading his word, keep on seeking him. Your relationship with him and your joy in him will grow. Peter wrote this letter to a group of Christians who did not see Jesus with their physical eyes. Jesus had already ascended into heaven before they became believers. You and I are like them. At some point, At some point in your life, you heard the gospel that God became a human being in Jesus, that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, that Jesus suffered and bled and died on a cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And on the third day, on that glorious third day, Jesus rose from the dead in victory over all the powers of evil. And when you heard that gospel message by the working of the Holy Spirit, you believed in Jesus and you fell in love with Jesus. And though you do not see Jesus with your physical eyes, still you love him and you believe in him. And Peter says that when you love him and believe in him, that this fills you with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I love that. An inexpressible and glorious joy. No matter what you're going through, focus on your relationship with Jesus, because he is the source and giver of joy. Again, Peter says that this joy in Jesus is inexpressible and glorious. Inexpressible means that the joy Jesus gives is so deep and so amazing that there are not words to fully describe it. Glorious means that this joy that Jesus gives is infused with the bright, majestic glory of heaven itself. This inexpressible and glorious joy that we have in Jesus because we believe in him and know him. Even though we don't see him with our eyes, we believe in him and love him and are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. This joy is so strong, Peter says, that it is a foretaste. It's actually a foretaste in the here and now of your future in glory. I love thinking about when I was a kid, being in the kitchen with my mother as she was making a cake. Right, she's stirring that cake batter and she puts it in the pan, but then there's this bowl and the batter is left, and I love licking that bowl and get a spoon and getting it all over you. And that was a foretaste of the cake to come. And no matter what you're going through, you can continually enjoy this foretaste of glory. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. When you fight for joy, when you focus on your relationship with him, even in the storms of life, especially in the storms of life, you get this foretaste of glory. And here's what's happening. Peter says, what's happening is that you are actually in the here and now, you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Oh, Christian believers, would you not be passive in being a people of joy? Yes, joy is simple, but it's not easy. You've got to fight for joy. Would you? Would you in the storms of life be intentional about fighting for your joy? And may this inexpressible and glorious joy be yours in abundance through Jesus Christ. Amen.